Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Lee Gallant, who is the Deputy Director of the ACLU's National Immigrants' Rights Project and a lead attorney on the ACLU's family separation case, Ms. L versus ICE. He has been an attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union since 1992, where his main focus is immigration and national security issues, and he is a professor at Columbia's Law School. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lee Gallant.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Lee, and this is an extraordinary thing that this is happening in the name of the American people, what appears to be incredibly cruel behavior. I don't know, you know, it may sound like hyperbole to refer to go back to the Nazis, but I don't recall anything in the modern era quite as nasty and horrible as tearing children from the arms of their parents. Children as young as, by the way, as young as 53 weeks old. And then the idea that 1,500 of these kids that have been separated from their parents at the border are now missing within the government itself. It's just appalling.
Yeah, I mean, this is unprecedented. The administration is trying to say that it's all due to a law Congress passed, but that's simply not true. There is no law that requires the separation of families, and certainly not children 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. This is a policy and practice implemented by the Trump administration. No prior administration has systematically separated parents and children. And we, you know, we hope that we're successful in our lawsuit. We argued it on May 4th in San Diego. It's a national class action. We are waiting for a decision. But in the meantime, you know, we hope the administration will rethink this and end it on their own.
So is there any idea what happened to these kids? I mean, the idea that you've lost 1,500 kids, first of all, you know, the cavalier attitude that the former head of Homeland Security, now the chief of staff in the White House, General Kelly, saying that, you know, these kids were put into foster care or whatever, doesn't give you any confidence that the system is prepared for this. And if the system has lost 1,500, what exactly is going on?
Yeah, we are trying to find out more information about exactly what's happened with those children. But you're absolutely right. The system is not working. Let me be clear about something. We don't know whether all 1,500 of those kids were separated from their parents or whether some came on their own and were genuinely unaccompanied, because there are some kids that do genuinely come on their own and then need to be put somewhere. And then there are other kids. And the big issue now is that the administration is creating more unaccompanied kids by ripping them from their parents. But I think, you know, as you point out, the system is not working. And the takeaway, I think, is if the system is not working and the government can't keep track of the kids, why send even more kids into the system? Why take them away from their parents and send them into this system that's losing kids? So the last thing we should be doing is separating children. Even if the system worked perfectly and the children weren't lost, you know, at a minimum, we still shouldn't be separating them from their parents. The medical evidence is overwhelming that when you separate a young child from their parents, it creates enormous trauma, usually permanent, lasting trauma. We have 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds who are screaming, please don't take me away from my mommy or daddy. Please don't take me away. And they're just being ripped away and sent halfway across the country all by themselves. It's as bad as anything I've ever seen in the 25-plus years of doing this work.
And again, I'm speaking with Lee Gallant, who is the Deputy Director of the ACLU's National Immigrants' Rights Project and lead attorney on the ACLU's family separation case, Ms. L versus ICE. He has been an attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union since 1992, where his main focus is immigration and national security issues, and he's a professor at Columbia Law School. So, Lee, can Trump get away with blaming the Democrats for the cruelty of his own administration?
I don't think that that's going to ultimately float, because I think even Republicans are now saying, look, there's no law. that was passed that requires separation, and certainly prior administrations didn't do it. So ultimately, I don't think that's going to float. Ultimately, the administration is going to have to stand up and say, we're going to continue doing this as cruel as it is and see how it fares in court, or they're going to have to back down. But I don't think that people are really going to believe that Congress has passed a law that requires this kind of cruel practice. And I think, since you know, every day you're seeing more and more Republicans and conservatives come out and say, we don't want this being done, and there is no law that requires it. So I don't think that talking point is ultimately going to float.
But surely, because you have alternative universes in the American media with the people inside the Fox bubble believing anything that Trump says, no matter what a bald-faced lie and how ludicrous it is, and then in the recent primary elections, for example, down in Georgia, a Republican who is in the runoff was proudly running on a campaign, standing next to a ICE bus, proudly saying, let's get rid of the illegals, let's round them up. I mean, you know, he was just openly racist about going after Latinos. So it's out there, isn't it? I mean, this you know, kind of racism that's, I think, been enabled by our president.
Yeah.
I mean, he started his campaign, for God's sake, calling Mexicans racists and rapists and murderers.
Right. Well, I don't know anything about that particular campaign. And, you know, I take your point that there may be a lot of people in the U.S. who ultimately are going to believe the administration's talking point and be okay with what's going on. But I do think this issue is different than a lot of other immigration issues, because what we are seeing is people who don't necessarily agree with the ACLU on larger immigration policy saying, but look, this is going too far to be harming these little children, 2 years old, 3 years old. And we are seeing an enormous outpouring of support for this lawsuit from conservatives and Republicans. So you're absolutely right to point out that there is a segment of the country that may buy into the talking point and may be okay with what the administration's doing. But I do think more than almost any issue I can ever remember in the 25 plus years of doing this, there is bipartisan outrage at what's going on. I think, you know, you look at Twitter over this past weekend, when people hear about it, they're pushing back, and it's conservatives and liberals, it's Republicans and Democrats. So I do think this is one of those issues where we're going to see genuine bipartisan pushback.
So has there been any investigation into, we talked about the fact that we don't know what happened to these 1,500 missing kids, but there have been reports that some of the kids that have been torn away from their parents, not necessarily the very young ones, and that's bad enough, as you pointed out, the trauma that those kids have to endure, but the older kids in their teens, there have been reports that some of them have ended up in not just foster care, but they talk about the people that are taking these kids as sponsors. And there have been reports that some of these kids have ended up working in these kind of factory farms and places like that, where they're essentially being exploited as free labor, if not cheap labor.
Yeah, it's horrible. And we, you know, we are trying to get as much information as possible. Ultimately, you know, the government has that information or should have that information. I think this is, you know, a relatively new breaking story. And so we are going to do our best and hope get the support of Congress to look into the issue to figure out what's going on. But you're absolutely right. The reports are horrible about what's happening to these children.
And tell us about your case, which is, I take it, kind of a test case, Mizell versus ICE.
Right. So you're absolutely right. It is a test case. It was originally brought on behalf of Mizell, who's a Congolese mom who escaped the Congo fearing for her life with her then 6-year-old daughter, made it to the United States, presented themselves legally at a border, didn't cross, presented themselves legally at a border and said, we'd like to apply. And the mother passed her initial asylum screening interview showing she was a bona fide asylum seeker, She and her daughter were placed in a makeshift motel for 4 days. After 4 days, they were brought to the immigration office. The daughter and mother were separated. The daughter was put in the next room. A few minutes later, the mother could hear the daughter screaming, "Mommy, mommy, please don't let them take me away. Please don't let them take me away." The mother was sent to a detention center in San Diego. The daughter was whisked away to Chicago. The mother didn't speak to the daughter for 4 days or even know what happened to the daughter. They were separated for 4 months, speaking only briefly once a week, once every 2 weeks. Finally, when we brought this lawsuit, the government said, well, the mother didn't have all her papers when she got here to prove it was her daughter, so we just decided to separate them. Well, of course, the judge said, well, what about a DNA test? They did the DNA test, and of course it was the mother. And they have fortunately been the lucky ones who were released from detention and reunited. But what we quickly learned is that there were hundreds and hundreds of little children who had been suffering the same fate. So we expanded our lawsuit to a national class action lawsuit. It's pending before a federal judge in San Diego. I argued it on May 4th. We're hoping for a decision, you know, as soon as the judge is prepared to issue one. There's no deadline. We're hoping for a favorable decision. We're hoping the federal judge will say, look, you can only separate these mothers and children if there's a compelling reason, which the law means, which is the, generally the law has said means the parent is a danger to the child. But what we know about the administration's practice is they're not separating them because the parent is in any way abusive. They're separating them, frankly, to try and deter asylum seekers from coming to this country. And that's absolutely unlawful, and it's doing major harm to these little children. What I always say is if the policymakers could come to these centers, immigration centers, and watch these little kids for a day being torn away, screaming, pleading, begging not to be taken away, then I think the issue would move from the abstraction it is now to a real human issue, and hopefully the administration would stop doing it.
And there being, of course, the kids that are missing, and there are all these kids are in the custody of the Office of Refugee Resettlement, which is a part of the Department of Health and Human Services, and they're
exactly
the ones that can't find the 1,500 kids. But just in closing, since this is so horrible, and that this is being done in all of our names, so is there what would your advice be to the American people listening here to this interview? Because frankly, I'm sure our listeners are just as appalled as I am.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. We are trying to mobilize people along with other groups. And what we are going to be organizing in mid-June are marches and rallies. We hope people will show up. We also are sending letters out now for to sign petitions, to send pictures of them and their little kids. So we will be sending out materials for people. In the meantime, they can call their Congress people, they can call their senators and express outrage, but we will also be sending around letters for people to sign. I think what we need to show this administration is that there are so many people, including parents with young children, on both sides of the aisle that don't want this being done in their name. And so those are the concrete steps. Expect petitions coming from the ACLU. Expect information about where there will be rallies and marches in the next day or two. And people can also go to our website, ACLU.org.
Well, Lee Gallant, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Lee Gallant, who is the Deputy Director of the ACLU's National Immigrants' Rights Project and lead attorney on the ACLU's family separation case, Ms. L. versus ICE. He has been an attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union since 1992, where his main focus is immigration and national security issues, and he is a professor at Columbia Law School.